This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight. Walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away is the bluebird. Here to stay is a new bird. He sings a love song as we go along, walking in the winter wonderland. In the meadow we can build a snowman, then pretend that he is Parson Brown. He'll say, are you married? We'll say, no man, but you can do the job when you're in town. Later on, we'll conspire as we dream by the fire to face unafraid the plans that we made walking in the winter wonderland.
Hey, what better
person to sing a little Christmas song to us than old Blue Eyes himself, Frank Sinatra. And we're getting close, are we not? Good morning. And welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And along with my jolly partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. It is Friday, December the 16th. Yeah, 9 more days. Hey, in a few minutes, E.J. Antony of the Heritage Foundation is going to be here. We're going to talk about how the Federal Reserve is transferring wealth from its citizens to government bureaucrats with this printing press money-spending mentality that they have. So stay tuned for that. I think you're going to find it very interesting. And some 40 congressmen have gotten together and put forward legislation that would ban Donald Trump from public office. Can they do that in Congress? Can they do that? We're going to see if they can really do that. And would you believe about 63% of Americans are now living paycheck to paycheck? 63%. That is a scary number. We are going to find out if that's true. And in our ultimate top 10, a few shows ago, we gave you the top 10 states with the worst drivers. We're not going to give you, you know, being the driving season with Christmas coming up, the top 10 cities with the worst drivers. Cities. So these are the cities to avoid during Christmas. All right. So I found this kind of wacky. About 40 House Democrats have put forward legislation banning Donald Trump from holding public office ever again. They claim they can do so under the 14th Amendment. Representative David Cicilline, he's a Democrat from Rhode Island, led the he happened to lead the second impeachment effort. He really hates Trump. He led Trump's second impeachment effort, has introduced legislation, actually yesterday, with about 40 co-sponsors, all of them Democrats, invoking Section 3 of the 14th Amendment to say Trump should not be able to return to the White House or hold any other office. The amendment actually says this, quote, "No person shall hold any office, civil or military, under the United States, who, having previously taken an oath as a member of Congress or officer of the United States to support the Constitution, shall have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the same, or given aid or comfort to the enemies thereof." Of course, they're trying to invoke January the 6th, as if Trump said, hey, everybody, let's storm the Capitol building and throw everybody out, which he did not do, of course. Democrats really wish he had said something like that. You know, they would have been so gleeful. All he said was, do you remember what he said? Let's march peacefully to the Capitol building. That's what he said. And protest, basically. What's wrong with that? That's as American as apple pie. To be able to protest peacefully.
Meanwhile, all summer
Yeah, exactly.
Black Lives Matter had been protesting and burning cities and stuff like that.
Portland, Minneapolis, Seattle,
mm-hmm.
Can you believe it? And that was ignored. That's all right.
Yeah.
You know, you can burn down buildings. That's all right. As a matter of fact, they tried to burn down a federal building in Portland, too.
Yeah, and they didn't
tried to break through.
Do anything about that, did they?
No. Mm. No. So this is so ridiculous. Democrats say that this language, by the way, that came from 1860s, which was invoked at the time to prevent former Confederates from taking positions in the federal government after the Civil War. That's why they came up with that. So here's what they say. Donald Trump very clearly engaged in an insurrection on January 6, 2021, with the intention, listen to this, with the intention of overturning the lawful and fair results of the 2020 election. He questioned them. You have every right to question. I still question them. Does that mean I'm a traitor? I can have a doubt. Does that mean I, you know, oh, you don't go along with the election? Is that what you're saying? No, I'm saying that maybe there was some, maybe there was some fraud that was going on, whether or not there was enough to overturn the election. Okay. You can argue that, but can't you argue it without being tossed out of the country?
Most recently, in this last election, we still haven't gotten any answers as to why it took Arizona almost a month to count their votes.
Yeah. It's surreal what's going on in this country. If you've lived long enough to see how well things seem to have functioned, and even back then, quite frankly, no matter what era you are in, it always seems like the government's not doing as well as it used to do, right? No matter when it is, any moment in time, they'll say that. But it really is worse now than it used to be, and that's just the truth of it. And this is so ridiculous. Anyway, enough said about that. In the meantime, this is a scary number. As of November, and this is coming from a report from the Lending Club. It's a monthly report of some sort. And somehow they've come up with this. As of November, 63% of Americans were living paycheck to paycheck. And that's up from about 60% the previous month. It says here, according to the Lending Club, even high-income earners are under pressure. Of those earning more than six figures, almost half of them, 47%, reported living paycheck to... Now, they're living paycheck to paycheck at a higher... because they've got higher expenses, right? You know, it costs them more to pay the servants or the, you know, whatever the amenities that they have at the level that they are living. But paycheck to paycheck. It says here, according to Lending Club, Americans are cash strapped and their everyday spending continues to outpace their income. Did I ever ask you this, Ed? Do you have a little, are you technically living paycheck to paycheck, or do you have a little nest egg? You don't have to give me all the detail, of course. I'm just wondering, do you find that, you know, you need every month?
No, not. I haven't recently, but there have been times in my life, absolutely.
Oh, me too. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
There was one time I was dead broke. Dead broke. No, I didn't have any
there.
Money.
What? I think we've all been there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of builds character, feeling. You know? Because you find you can only go up from here.
Yes.
You wake up in your car one morning, you go, well, can't get any lower than this, can you?
No, the secret, there's no secret, but I found that by starting to forced withdrawal from my paycheck or my income every month, forced withdrawal into what amounted to an equity mutual fund.
I think I realized...
Started me on the way to keeping some money.
I think I realized that I had to have two jobs. But that doesn't work today. Some people won't even have one.
That's correct. I don't really know of too many... You know,
I mean, if you can't make ends meet, stop looking for the government to take care of it. Go out and get another job. I mean, I've worked 40 hours a week.
Sure.
And had a night job.
Yes, you have. I remember when you were working over at New York. And
sure,
doing work here.
I worked. Actually, I worked here and there for almost 17 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not necessarily
because
I had to, but, you know, I liked working here and I liked mm-hmm. working there.
I know what you mean. Yep. Absolutely understand. So maybe this is not as scary as one would want to think, but paycheck to paycheck. Anyway, here's another thing. And then we're going to take our break because we've got our buddy we got to get on here. A majority of voters think that the economy is going to be in worse shape next year than it is now. And roughly two-thirds say the economic trajectory, this is according to the Wall Street Journal, is going in the wrong direction. It suggests a recent burst of positive news economically, you know, moderating gas prices, a little bit slowing pace of inflation, really have not altered the way many people feel. You know, they're still very pessimistic. Okay, let us take our break. When we come back, E.J. Anthony of the Heritage Foundation, and why is the Federal Reserve spending and printing money day after day? It's only helping government bureaucrats, and it's not helping citizens.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Friday, 9 days before Christmas, too. It's getting colder outside, by the way. Even here in Tampa Bay, it's getting colder. It's down to about 60 degrees or so.
Did you see the Christmas forecast for here?
What is it?
Christmas Eve day, which will be Saturday, we're going to wake up at 35 in the morning and a high of only 50.
Wow.
If we're lucky. It says more like 40, the high 40s.
Well, we do get into the 30s overnight, a few times a year.
Anything below 50, Florida shuts down.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Wow, it is going to be cold. We are delighted to have E.J. Anthony back. He is a research fellow for regional economics at the Heritage Foundation, and he has written a piece for the Washington Times, an opinion piece, about how the Federal Reserve's running a money printing press in high gear, and they certainly are, EJ. What is going on? I mean, this we talk about this on the show all the time. The Fed prints money. I don't notice that my taxes are going up, so that means somehow, are they just printing money out of thin air?
That's exactly sure. Right. What they do is they create money for the Treasury to spend. So if you're wondering, where did the government get the trillions upon trillions of dollars that they spent in these massive deficits over the last couple of years? They got it from the Federal Reserve. Where did the Fed get it? The Fed created it out of nothing. And when they do that, it devalues the dollar. And when that happens, the dollar shrinks. Well, if you have a currency, one of the functions of that currency is to measure things. And so if you're going to say something is worth $2 or $3, well, I mean, that depends on the value of the dollar, right? And as the value of the dollar shrinks, you need more dollars. In other words, you need more yardsticks to cover the same distance.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it used to be that we actually based the amount of dollars floating around in the amount of gold that we had total, I guess at Fort Knox, until I guess President Nixon took us off the gold standard. And we went to used to say like silver certificate on the top of a single dollar bill, you know what I mean? And then after that, it said something like a Federal Reserve or Reserve, you know. So we were gone from that. Nobody thought much about it at first, but there's nothing underneath this anymore, is there?
No, nothing at all, and that's why we call it a fiat currency. You know, it's funny, when I would teach money and banking, and I would ask the students, what does it mean that we have a fiat currency? And almost all of them would respond with, fiat means backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government, because that's what they were taught when they were younger. But it's an absolute lie. That's not even what the word fiat means. It literally means by decree. If you look on our money, as you were just pointing out, it says it's a Federal Reserve note, and it is legal tender for all debts, public and private. What does that mean, legal tender? It means you have to accept this under penalty of law. If someone offers you cash for something and you won't accept that, you can go to jail. And for all debts, public and private means that it's not just public transactions, in other words, payment of duties and taxes, but private transactions as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, you say in your article, again, in the Washington Times opinion piece, December 13th, that this has an insidious effect, this creation of money out of nothing, running the printing press. And you say this is how the Fed transfers wealth from the people to the bureaucrats. Now, what do you mean by that?
Well, remember when the Fed creates this money, we said it creates it out of nothing and it devalues the dollar. What that does is it basically shaves off a small amount of the worth of every dollar in your pocket, in your bank account, in your paycheck, etc., and it gives it to these newly created dollars that are now in the hands of the Treasury for the politicians to spend. And so it's a very subtle, sophisticated, but also insidious way to tax people without their knowledge. And we have to always remember that that's what inflation is. It's a tax, a hidden tax, because Congress didn't vote on it, the president didn't sign it, but it is still fundamentally a tax.
Let me ask you this, EJ. You know, we always keep talking, you hear it a million times, well, you got to be like people. People can't spend money that they don't have, and, you know, the federal. Will we ever really have to account for this? I mean, we're $32 trillion in debt. Are we ever going to have to account for what we've done to ourselves with the printing of money? Is the piper going to have to be paid, you know, down the road at some point or not?
Oh, absolutely. The sins of the past always catch up with you, whether they're moral or monetary. And what we're already seeing right now is major countries around the world, China, Russia, Saudi Arabia, pushing to eliminate the petrodollar. In other words, a lot of these commodities that were formerly priced in dollars are going to be priced in other currencies. And when the United States dollar is no longer the reserve currency of the world, the trillions upon trillions of dollars that have been going overseas in the forms of trade deficits and borrowing by the U.S. Treasury is all going to start coming back here. And then you'll see a real inflation.
Yeah. I've always worried that we are the dollar, we are the currency of choice in the world. And I guess the only thing I think is, well, maybe it's because even though we're really bad off, all these other countries with their currencies are even worse off. But then again, you know, tradition has kept us as the currency of choice. But at some point, if people just stop wanting to use our money, isn't that when things will start to collapse?
That's exactly right. And as soon as that happens, and you know, we may not be that far off from that, that's when things get real bad, real fast. We have basically been living for years now on borrowed time. And if we don't get our fiscal house in order very, very soon, then it's going to arrive here sooner rather than later. And you know, one great example of that was when after the war in Ukraine started, Eastern Europe, what happened to Russian dollars, and not, I don't mean Russian rubles, but Russian claims on dollars here in the United States. The government froze those assets. These were not dollars that belonged to the American people or to the United States government. They belonged to the Russian people. But those assets were and have been since then frozen. So now think about this. If you're another country around the world, if you're one of these other countries, you're sitting here saying, you know what? If the Biden administration does not like my politics, maybe I'm not woke enough, maybe I'm not pro-transgender enough, or whatever liberal cause it may be, right? If I don't agree with the Biden administration on something, what are the odds they're going to freeze my dollar-denominated assets in the United States as well? And suddenly, a lot of people don't want to hold dollars anymore. And that's not an exaggeration. We have already seen the sell-off.
Yeah. We're talking with E.J. Anthony. He is a research fellow for regional economics at the Heritage Foundation. And we're talking about a story he wrote for the Washington Times, the Federal Reserve running money printing press in high gear. You know, there are people like Rand Paul in the Senate that are calling basically for almost getting rid of the Federal Reserve in the idea that we don't really need it. Now, it was created, I think it was in 1913, about the same year we created the income tax, the permanent income tax. But we got along before that without a Federal Reserve, correct?
Absolutely. And since the Federal Reserve has been created, they have successfully confiscated about 97% of the dollar's value. And recessions have become more frequent, not less frequent, and they have become more severe, not less severe. We never had a depression like the Great Depression until after the Federal Reserve System.
Yeah.
And that was specifically what it was designed to prevent, and instead it caused it.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? You sound like you agree with Rand Paul.
Well, I think he makes a lot of very, very good points, and I think he understands monetary policy far more than many other lawmakers do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've always wondered about this whole concept of a group of people. It's sort of a semi-government, isn't it? I mean, it's like, I don't know. Is the Federal Reserve sort of half government and half private?
That's exactly right. It's a quasi-public-private institution. It is a far cry from what J.P. Morgan, Benjamin Strong, and many others thought it was going to be when they had a hand in creating it. They thought it was going to be the banker's bank, and that it would help prevent these panics, that it would allow for a pool of resources in times of trouble. And instead, what it has done is it has created an incentive for insolvency among banks and a penalty for prudence.
Yeah, and so when those people got together in 1913, did they not want to have a direct connection to the federal government? Because now, isn't the Federal Reserve Chairman an appointed position from the administration?
Well, the Federal Reserve System was a classic case of compromise in which neither party got what they wanted, and the end result was not good for basically anyone except for those politicians who wanted a way to create money out of nothing for them to spend and so that they could tax the American people without their knowing it.
So they were kind of in on this whole little scheme from the beginning? I mean, what you're saying is their intentions were not that honorable at the start?
Who's they? I'm sorry.
No, well, I mean the group of bankers that got together in 1913.
I think the Federal Reserve has morphed into a totally different creature than what many of those bankers thought it was going to be. And I think one of the pieces of evidence for that is the fact that many of the bankers fought tooth and nail other versions of the Federal Reserve bill that much more closely resemble what the Fed is today.
Mm-hmm. So now we are, what did we just do? Did we just have a continuing resolution or something? In other words, we always put off in the government till the very end, right up against the wall, our being able to fund it. And we're going to have a new Congress coming in January. EJ, do you think there's going to be any change to this rigmarole of spending money like they are spending money? I mean, is there any chance, we always talk about it, is there any chance that we're going to start kind of understanding that we've got to become a little bit more intelligent about the way we're handling our money?
Well, I suppose there's always a chance. I mean, after all, this is the season of perpetual hope we're in right now, right?
Yes. So,
you know, but unfortunately, you know, again, we'll have to see with this new crop of Republican lawmakers coming in. But what the establishment Republicans have showed us time and time again, not only are they more establishment than they are Republican, but they've showed us that they are essentially just Democrats driving the speed limit when it comes to spending. And so they have become much more, again, part of the establishment than actual conservatives. So we'll have to see if maybe this new group will turn that trend around and will actually govern as conservatives, which is why they were sent to Washington in the first place.
Yeah, you're right. Hope springs eternally, Jay. Hope springs eternal. Thank you so very much for coming on. Really enjoyed the conversation. You have a wonderful Christmas. Look forward to talking with you in the new year.
Likewise. Merry Christmas to you, and look forward to chatting again.
Thank you, sir. All right. E.J. Anthony, Heritage Foundation. We're going to take our break. When we come back, we got lots of things to talk about. Among them, the border. The White House says, oh, Joe Biden's doing a wonderful job on the border. Really? Let's take a look.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Freedom Works on a Friday. So, Ed, Elon Musk takes over Twitter, and all of a sudden he has banned a bunch of journalists, at least for a while. Have you heard about that? I thought he was going to be totally open. So, of course, these journalists are screaming from the rooftops about this, but it turns out that Musk claims that these journalists were doxing. In other words, were letting people know the location of people connected to Elon Musk, and that's why he has banned them. Hey, did you hear about this at all?
Figures.
Yeah. In a series of tweets, Musk said that the journalists, now here are some of the people that he banned. CNN correspondent Donnie O'Sullivan, New York Times technology reporter Ryan Mack, Washington Post reporter Drew Harwell, Intercept journalist Micah Lee, and your friend, former MSNBC host Keith Olbermann, and some others. He defended the decision, and he said that they were going to remain off the platform for 7 days. Hours later, he polled his followers, which were about 122 million, on whether the journalists should be reinstated. He said, quote, unsuspend accounts who doxed my exact location in real time? That was the way he formed the question. Then he said, now, tomorrow, 7 days from now, longer. So apparently he was trying to take some sort of a poll with his followers. It says here, Musk scrapped the poll after 43% said the account should be reinstated, and 57% collectively said they should remain suspended. He then launched a new poll. Two options, now or in 7 days. The now option was ahead 59% to 41%. Okay. So I guess these people will come back on eventually.
Well, yeah, and you got to remember, you wonder how many of those fake accounts are still out there.
Yeah.
And voting for the in that way.
The fake accounts still vote?
I seem to remember, wasn't it a CNN anchor person that gave out Fox broadcaster Tucker Carlson
addresses or something?
Gave out his home address.
Did he?
Yeah.
That's absolutely criminal.
And they,
absolutely criminal to
do
that.
Yeah, and they wound up showing up at his house.
Yeah, that's criminal.
Yeah.
To put a family's, situation in jeopardy like that. Well, anyway, I don't know what's going on with the people at the White House. Are they absolutely this Pollyannish? The White House yesterday claimed that President Biden has, quote, done the work, unquote, to deal with the southern border. Done the work. What does done the work mean? That he hasn't done any work. How about that? He hasn't done any work. But the press secretary for Biden, Karine Jean-Pierre, was asked about the looming end of Title 42, which has been used to keep a bunch of migrants from crossing into our country. And it came about because of the COVID-19 pandemic. It was a way of saying, look, we can't just have people crossing the border because we got this pandemic going on. We don't know who's coming in and what kind of diseases that they might have. The end of that order, which was mandated by a court ruling that found the use of the authority was unlawful, has led to concerns from both Republicans and Democrats that the administration is not ready for what is widely expected to be an even additional surge coming across. It's bad enough right now, is it not? It's going to be worse. By the way, there were more than 2.3 million migrant encounters in fiscal year 2022. And in fiscal year 2023, which I think started July of 2022, and it goes to July of 2023, fiscal year 2023 so far has been on pace to exceed fiscal year 22, where they had 2.3 million migrant encounters. And in the meantime, the Department of Homeland Security, what the hell are they doing? Well, they're asking for more money, for one thing. They are requesting an additional $4 billion, that's with a B, $4 billion in border funding.
Isn't that funny? It went from, we don't really have a problem, to, we need $4 billion.
Of course. It's so stupid. Everybody knows. Everybody knows.
Have you seen...
Why doesn't Biden go down there? Look, for him not to go down is worse. If he would go down there, at least stand there, and then people would say, well, at least he's gone down there. And,
but,
you know,
he was asked that question. He said there were more important things going on.
He dug himself a deeper hole.
Sure. And have you seen the latest images from the border?
I don't even want to look. It makes me feel bad.
Paul, it's a free-for-all. And when you tell me these people are fleeing, please don't use the fleeing word. Fleeing their country. You don't flee a country with brand new shoes, backpacks.
They're dressed better than me.
I saw a guy with a Tommy Hilfiger shirt, and I don't even have one.
They dress better than us. They probably got better iPhones than we do.
They have phones. They have phones. They have earbuds. I mean, can
ridiculous.
Can we top off your morning drink this morning? Or,
I know.
You know?
Yeah. It's really, if it wasn't so horribly sad, it would be funny.
You know what image I still is burned in my...
Now, there are a lot of people that are desperate.
Absolutely.
But they get lost in the rest of
them. And you know what? Those people do it the legal way. That are that way. They go through the legal... I will never forget the image. Remember when they were busing them to New York, and they still are?
Yes.
The first buses rolling into New York, and those people getting off those buses.
Right.
And whoever was lining the little... line there where they were getting off the bus and clapping for them. People were holding out $20 bills.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
You have got to be kidding me.
Just
meanwhile, around the block, there are plenty of of veterans, homeless people that have nothing.
Yeah, it's so hypocritical. It's so hypocritical. I don't know if even Democrats are turning on Biden now. He's going to have to do something. And when we have the new Congress next month, they are going to start holding. They're going to bring that guy Mayorkas back. They're going to have to get rid of him. I think you'll see that that Department of Homeland Security
he's just,
guy.
Paul, he's just going to be a scapegoat.
I know he is.
What are they going to do on the 21st when Title 41 drops?
42. It's going to be terrible. We got to stop that, too. I don't think Democrats want Title 42 to stop. You know, they're starting to realize they ain't getting that many more votes because they're allowing all these...
I don't understand their views on this. I really don't.
They apparently think that these people will eventually become Democrats because they'll eventually become citizens. You know what I mean? And they will, because they tend to be on the, you know... poorer side of the economic scale, that they will tend to vote Democrats.
And, you know, they want billions of dollars.
That's not panning out
anymore. They want billions of more dollars, for, I guess they're going to hire some more agents or whatever, blah, 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 blah. Why not finish the wall?
Of course.
And that's sitting there deteriorating. Or you can go with my very inexpensive answer to the immigration problem.
And that is?
Well, you know that there, what is that, the Rio Grande that runs right along the border there where they're crossing the waterways? Now, look, here in Florida, we have an overpopulation of alligators. And in the down in the Everglades, those boa constrictor things. Instead of killing them, we just load them up and we drop them off in the river there. Now, you have to remember, alligators are both amphibious, so they can go on land and
they
patrol.
They can grab you and drag you back into the
and
water.
And they can patrol the water. But tell me nobody's going to cross that water when they see that guy going.
Yeah.
You know.
I think that would slow things down.
They won't even get closer because the gators, I mean, they run fast on land too. Yeah. Perfect.
They do.
And they work for nothing.
Did you know that the first few paces that an alligator or a crocodile can outrun a horse? Not in the long run.
No.
But they can. They're immediately at full speed.
And as Saturday Night Live Father Guido Soducci gave you great advice, if you're ever chased by an alligator, always zigga-zagga.
That's a good idea. Yes. All right. Before we go to break, Fox News poll. Americans showing little enthusiasm for a Biden-Trump ticket in 2024 effort during a heated midterm. According to this Fox News poll, little support for a rematch between Biden and Trump. The survey finds almost two-thirds of the people that they polled do not want Biden to run for office, while a third say that they do. Let's see. Trump announced, of course, that he is going to be running. He does a little bit better than Biden when it comes to the race. 39% say they're glad Trump is running again. 58% said they are not so enthused. So maybe we're going to need two totally different people that are going to be... And you know who, by the way, you know who is now the person that looks like he is in demand the most? It says here, by the way, other potential candidates for 2024 do not fare much better than Biden or Trump, except Florida Governor Ron DeSantis.
Sure.
He's doing great.
And you can't have him.
we need him.
He's got a job.
We don't want him to leave. He's doing okay here.
You know, unless he mentors whoever's behind him. I know it's a woman, this lieutenant governor, whoever's behind him.
Becomes the governor, you're saying?
Yeah, and you know, keeps his ideas moving forward.
Well, you would hope that she would be on the same page.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, and of course, she would also hope to become the governor permanently. So she would want to be on the same page, et cetera, et cetera.
I'm going to tell you something right now. If he does run, and he has to drop out of being governor of Florida. You know who's gonna end the race again?
Charlie Crist?
You got it.
the ever-present...
Yeah, the fifth or sixth time it might be a charm.
Half fan will travel.
The man who's never been reelected.
Will travel, Charlie
never been reelected.
Yeah, good old Charlie. Yeah, we love talking about Charlie. All right, let us take our final break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit of weekend sports with Big Ed and the top 10 cities with the worst drivers.
Is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Final segment of Freedom Works. By the way, we're here Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network. We know that you're busy now, especially now. Christmas on its way, so you may not be able to hear us live. So thanks to Big Ed, you can go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com. That's our, O-U-R, freedomworks.com, and listen to our show anytime you want, because he puts them all on tape, on podcast, top of the page. You'll see who the guest is and the top 10, everything that you need, and you can listen at your leisure, thanks to Ed. ourfreedomworks.com. Okay, so... this is kind of interesting. Congress has voted to remove a bust of one of our chief justices. House lawmakers passed a bill to remove a bust of Roger B. Taney. He was the chief justice who, by the way, authored the Dred Scott decision in 1857. That decision ruled that black people could not become U.S. citizens. So that was a very, notorious decision by the Supreme Court. But the legislation commissions a bust of Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall, our first black justice, to be placed kind of in place of this guy somewhere in the Capitol. The bust of Taney, he was the fifth chief justice, and he led the court from 1836 to 1864. It's currently sitting inside the entrance of the old Supreme Court chamber in the U.S. Capitol. And that's where the High Court met from 1810 until 1860. Now they've got their own building. So goodbye to Roger B. Taney, an infamous Supreme Court justice. In the meantime, our buddy Lori Lightfoot in Chicago, making news again. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot has decided to... block public availability for police scanners. You know how you can monitor police scanners? And journalists do it all the time. And they used to do it like when I worked in Chicago. They would have a police scanner, and they would hear where a particular incident was occurring. And they would be able to, you know, take advantage of that for purposes of publishing it in the newspaper.
Not
like that
I'm on her side, but so do criminals.
That's what she said. And there is some truth to it.
Yes.
There is some truth to it. But it also takes away the right of the public to hear what's going on. And we've always allowed it. Now, some pundits, like you say, are slamming Lori Lightfoot's decision to block the media and the public from being able to monitor police scanners, saying that it affects the reporter's ability to cover local crime, and it potentially endangers residents. That's another thing that they use. But like you said, she said, the mayor said, if it's unencrypted and there's access, there's no way to control criminals who are going to also get access, listen in, and adjust their criminal behavior in response to the information that's being communicated. Well, that's been going on for...
I know, but the media says, well, we use that to warn people. In other words, if there is... You had a scanner that there... The Howard Franklin has a massive accident and, you know, all lanes are shut down. Immediately, the media, including radio, and I've done it too, is warn people, stay away from the Howard Franklin.
Correct.
It's the way to get it out. Now, if you wait for them to tell us... It could be,
exactly,
you know, a half
an
hour.
That's an argument in favor of allowing the public
journalists
to hear.
If they're going to guarantee that they're going to let this out to the media only, I don't know. I heard one argument. That says, well, a woman has a scanner, and she listens to the scanner, makes sure there's nothing going on, so she can go to the end of the street to the grocery store and get food and come back without... worrying about being assaulted. I don't know if criminals, you know, announce, hey, we're going to be at the grocery store this afternoon between 2 and 5 and knock off a couple of people. Don't come down.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if criminals do that.
I wonder how many people actually, you know, just for their own personal welfare, listen to police scanners.
Oh, people just do it for the fun of it, too.
I think they do it for the fun of it.
They do, I know a lot of citizens.
It's kind of like being a ham radio operator.
Yeah.
You remember those things.
And then you got people that want to get the story on their cell phones and listen to the police scanner and say, hey, there's an accident, a bad one, and you used to grab your camera, but now you got your phone.
You just quickly
run down there and get some snapshots.
True.
And make some money off of it.
Very true.
By selling it to the media.
I wonder how long this is going to last in Chicago. You know, the mayor has been accused of trying to shut down journalists there for some other reasons, because she doesn't like the questions that they ask. This is how the journalists are looking at it. You're just trying to limit our access.
Yes.
And you're trying to limit our access in this case because you don't want the crime situation to appear as bad as it really is.
Mayor Beetlejuice has bigger problems.
She does.
Than police scanners.
I cannot believe she's the mayor of the city. I just can't believe that
Paul,
people...
Paul, we keep wondering why New York keeps putting these people in office.
I mean, she was completely incompetent. I don't know what possessed them. Anyway, very interesting. Before we get to our top 10, what's going on in sports? I know that the Lightning must have won again last night.
They did.
Yeah.
They're
playing very well, aren't they?
Yeah, I think they're something like 12 out of the last 15.
They're playing
great.
Well,
I looked at the standings. They're only about the top third of the league right now.
They're climbing,
19
though.
Wins, and say Boston has got like 23 or something like that.
Guy Ovechkin, sorry for interrupting. I believe he plays for the Washington Capitals. He is now, I think, the third most prolific goal scorer in the history of hockey.
Yeah, and I think
Alex Ovechkin.
The watch is on right now for Steven Stamkos' 500th goal.
And he's coming along, too.
And that should be probably maybe this weekend.
Very good. All right, time for our top 10. Now, we did top 10 states with the worst drivers, and we're going to do the top 10 cities, especially, you know, because of all the driving that people are doing around Christmas. Quote Wizard gathered data from 6 million car insurance quotes from the 70 largest U.S. cities to make the rankings. The report used 4 main factors to determine driver quality in each city. First, speeding tickets. Second, citations like running a red light or distracted driving. Third, accidents. And 4, DUIs.
Well, I think you should pencil one more in there.
What is that?
Driving slow in the left lane with your left blinker on.
Oh, yeah, that always is driving people crazy.
And we've got that.
Yeah.
That's easy.
No,
it's
you're
a runaway.
Right, actually. People that don't go with the flow can cause accidents.
Oh, I know.
Doing too slow. Absolutely. All right, here they go. Top 10 cities with the worst drivers. Number 10. Not far away, Jacksonville, Florida. Jacksonville, Florida. I wonder why they drive so badly.
You ever driven through there? It's a strange town.
Is it strange?
Yeah.
Really?
It's easy to get lost there.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But then I get lost in downtown Tampa.
I get lost anywhere I go. If I go out of my neighborhood, I'm lost. Number nine. A place, I don't even know where it is. Richmond, California? Richmond? No. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
Who cares? Number eight. Another California city, Riverside, California. I think they're all hopped up on something in Riverside, California. Number seven. Hey, these are all California places, Ed. They really are, now that I look. Number seven is Fresno, California. I think they're using some sort of a special drug in California.
Maybe they're just mad about the prices of gas out there.
Yeah, I never thought of that.
Angry drivers.
They're angry.
Yeah.
Yeah, road rage.
Every time they fuel up in the morning, they're like, you know, a couple $100 more in the hole.
Gas price road rage. All right, number six. San Diego, California. Ha! These are all California. Number five. Well, you know what? Now I'm beginning to think that nobody really did their homework on this. Number five is San Francisco, California. Okay. Number four, Los Angeles, California. Are there any more in here that are not?
Los Angeles is just gridlock.
Let's just say California and forget the whole top down.
The 4 days I was in Los Angeles, that's all it was.
It is the worst.
You don't dare get on the interstate.
No, it is the worst. The interstate system around Los Angeles is the worst place in the country
If you know the back roads, then you're fine. But if you're just like any ham and egg or jumping on the interstate, you're in trouble.
Rush hour is always, I mean, it's not even rush hour.
There's no rush to
it. There's no rush. It's always horrible. All right. Number three, Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Baton Rouge.
So that's actually outside of California. Hooray, Baton Rouge. But, you know, Baton Rouge is very crime-ridden.
Yeah,
it's not a safe place. Number two, back to California, Sacramento. That's the capital of the everywhere.
They were weren't they the good in something? Just recent, one of our polls.
Sacramento?
Sacramento was good at something.
Sacramento was the number one place that people wanted to move to.
Because of the bad drivers?
Because of bad, must be, I mean, maybe they're bad drivers.
It's kind of a contradiction there.
So many people are moving to Sacramento, and they don't know their way around, and that's why there's accidents.
Well, you think that would keep them out of the top 10 because they had bad drivers.
I know. Yeah. I'm not sure why I would want to move anywhere in California right now. All right, Ed.
Well, it's obviously going to be somewhere in California.
You're right.
Well, LA's taken.
We've done all the major, but you know the one that we haven't, and this has got to be horrible if it's all the other places are up below it. Bakersfield, California. I don't know where it is, but I'll bet it's probably in Southern California. Most of it's in Southern, but Bakersfield, California, number one worst city for drivers. All right. Thank you so very much. You have a wonderful weekend. Drive carefully, please, and remember the freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.